Right now, the University of Wisconsin's Dictionary of American Regional English has been mapping the richness and diversity of language for over 50 years. And between 1965 and 1970, field workers traveled the country recording interviews with hundreds of people from Hawaii to New England, and those recordings are now available online.
Besides uncovering colorful phrases and unique pronunciations, the conversations also give us a fascinating window to the past. People shared stories about their upbringing, their work life, race relations, and more.
Joan Houston Hall is the chief editor emerita of the Dictionary of American Regional English. She joins us now in the studio. Joan, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you very much.
Well, tell us the origin of these interviews. What were these field workers out there collecting and why?
They were collecting primarily vocabulary based on a huge questionnaire, more than 1,600 questions, about what people call the things in their daily lives. What do you call words for time or weather or food or clothing or money or religion or health and disease? All parts of our lives. And we collected 2.5 million or so responses. But at the same time, these people were asked if they would be recorded. And this was pretty new for some people. A few declined because they were a little suspicious. They've never done it before. But we ended up with 1,843 recordings from all over the country.
And they're becoming available now. Why now?
Well, over the years, we've had many versions of these tapes. We had to preserve them a couple of times to keep them viable, but about 15 years ago we digitized them and we wanted to make them available, but we had told these people that their names would not be released and that the recordings would be used for scholarly purposes. So over this time we had allowed scholars to use them as long as they agreed to keep the names confidential, not to broadcast them, not to transcribe them, that kind of thing. But we knew that there was such a wealth of material here, we wanted to make them available. So we decided that we would go to each recording and, using a program called Audacity, put a little bleep anytime a particular personal name or a bit of sensitive information was on the tape. So using graduate students, undergraduate students, and volunteers, as well as interns, we were able over about 4 years to go through all of these and bleep out the sensitive information.
You said 1,400 some recordings. Did I get that right?
1,843.
And they're all somewhat lengthy, I would imagine. So this was a huge task. I mean, you had to listen to every second of these to find the names and bleep them out.
That's right. Some interviews were fairly short, maybe 15 minutes or so, but others went on for 8 reels of tape.
Wow.
And students had to be trained in order to know what to bleep. We finally ended up with some policies saying that if a particular name could be found on Google and was a generally recognized name, that was something we didn't need to bleep. But for the informants themselves and the field workers, we kept that private.
Now, this was intended to be, you know, and has been part of the study of regionalism and language. But did the field workers ever have any sense that they were getting was more than that, that it was going to be something of historical record and a document of people's day-to-day lives?
I suspect that they did. And as it turned out, it's a wonderful snapshot of mid-20th century culture. We had the people do two things. One was to read a silly little story called Arthur the Rat that was designed to have all of the sounds in American English that would vary from one place to another. So in the name, for instance, Arthur the Rat, some people say Arthur, some people say Arthur, some author. And because the same story was read all across the country, we have a magnificent database of the same thing spoken differently in every community.
And you mentioned Arthur the Rat or Arthur the Rat. We have a couple pieces of audio from this collection. I want to give a listen to one from 1970. It's a recording of a 68-year-old African-American woman from Bridgeport, Connecticut, who I guess found the story of Arthur the Rat a little upsetting.
It seemed odd to them that the building was not haunted by rats. At last, one of them happened to move aboard and caught the sight of young... Here. I can't speak the rest of it. I can't stand speaking about rodents of any kind. It gives me the creeps.
And it's, I mean, this gives you, that's just one little example, but a little sign of a personality of the people involved in this huge project.
Yes, it came out some in the Arthur the Rat clips, but the field workers also were tasked with just talking to these people about anything that interested them. So we have conversations about family and community and jobs and politics and dreams and anything you can imagine. And they're all searchable through the database in the Digital Collection Center.
Well, let's take a listen to another recording. This one is from 1968, and this is an 80-year-old man from Anago, Wisconsin, talking about a job that his father got for him at a logging camp.
So he got the job for me, unbeknown. He didn't consult me, but I know when school is about over, he said, "Well, I got a good job for you." And I said, "What is it?" "Well, you're going to be work with a bunch of real old tigs, old tig lumberjacks. And I think it'll be good for you, and I think you'll enjoy it. You've been around with me, and you know a little about them, and I know that it'll be an experience, and it won't be an easy one by any means." "Well, what could I say? I couldn't say I'm not going to take it. I just, that wasn't done in our family. I accepted it."
Super interesting listening to that. I was trying to think, can I tell that this is someone from Wisconsin? I don't know if I can, and I also don't know what tig means. I hear a lot. What do you hear in this one?
Well, I don't know what tig means either. But I was thinking that most of our listeners probably think that this speech sounds kind of normal. Mm-hmm. But if they contrast it with the woman from Connecticut, I'm sure they'll see great differences. Vowels, for instance, in... the Antigo man, he talks about logs, where other people might say log or lag. And the woman in Connecticut had some vowels that were certainly not heard in the Antigo man. So sometimes you have to listen very carefully to see differences. But even in the tapes from people from different parts of Wisconsin, there are some very distinct differences.
We're talking to Joan Houston Hall, Chief Editor Emerita of the Dictionary of American Regional English, talking about interviews recorded in the 1960s, now available, many of them online for you to check out. And Joan, what did scholars do with these interviews? You were mentioning the vowel differences there, for example. How did they compare and contrast these different speakers from around the country to try to figure out who said what where?
Well, early in the use of these tapes back in the 70s, say, they simply had to listen and transcribe by hand. Now, of course, you can do it digitally and get much more sophisticated results. But scholars made studies of the vowels in different communities, different pronunciations of consonants. They would analyze conversation patterns, and other people used them too, in particular actors and dialect coaches. Mm. So if they were doing a play set in southern Alabama, they could write to us and say, "What do you have of a middle-aged man from this community in Alabama?" And very often we could provide a really good sample for them.
I'm curious about how the field workers found these people. It seems like so many people, and I think I also heard you say they had to answer something like 1,600 questions. Why were people willing to do that?
Well, it was amazing. The field workers went cold into communities and were told only that they had to find people who had lived there all their lives, and they were to emphasize older people because they wanted to collect words and phrases that were going out of use. But they also found younger people as well. And so we could compare the speech of older and middle-aged and younger people. But it was often very difficult to find people. And sometimes the field workers decided that the first thing they should do was check in at the police station. And one reason for that was that this was civil rights demonstration era, and they were in the South, many of them, with word wagons emblazoned with the University of Wisconsin on the side. Mm. And that was a red flag for some people. So they had to establish their bona fides before trying to find people. But if they could say, oh, Sheriff Jones suggested you might be able to help me, then that was a really good entree into the community.
You mentioned, you know, this is in the 1960s, talking to older people, but even in this day and age, these variations in the way we say words around the country, they haven't gone away, have they?
They haven't. People like to think that our language has become homogenized, but it's certainly not true. And in fact, there are new distinctions that are being heard all the time. So it's a project that could go on forever.
It's a fascinating project, and it sounds to me like the stories from some of these field workers are also going to stay with them alongside the scholarly impact. There was a fellow who did this as a field worker in his 20s, remembers being taken in and going raccoon hunting with the family that he was working with.
Yes, he was one of our best field workers, August Rubrecht, who's in Eau Claire now, and he has wonderful stories. Fortunately, he kept a journal of his experiences, so he's been able to write about his experiences in the DARE newsletter. So if you go to the DARE website, www.dare.wisc.edu, you can see the newsletters, you can hear audio clips, you can go to our collection and learn a great deal about this project.
Well, Joan, we'll leave it there for now. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
We've been talking to Joan Houston Hall, Chief Editor Emerita of the Dictionary of American Regional English, talking with us about how field interviews done for that project in the 1960s are now available online.